Are you overwhelmed by motherhood and barely keeping your head above water? Are you confused and frustrated by how all the other moms make it look so easy? You can't figure out how to manage the chaos in your mind, your home, or your family. I get you, mama. Parenting with ADHD is hard. Here is your permission slip to let go of the Pinterest-worthy visions of organization and structure fit for everyone else. Let's do life like our brains do life. Creatively, lovingly, and with all our might. When we embrace who we are and how our brains work, we can figure out how to live our lives successfully, and in turn, lead our families well. At the end of the day, we just want to be good moms, but spoiler alert, you are already a great mom. ADHD does not mean you're doomed to be a hot mess, mama. You can rewrite your story from shame spiral to success story. And I'll be right here beside you to cheer you on. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Back in 1996, I tried out for the flag line. My little 14-year-old self thought it was absolutely gorgeous, the way the girls twirled and swirled and like caught the flags in midair. And the broom and I practiced for hours, but I did not make the team, nor did I make it the next year. Or the next year, even though I had my best friend's sister, who was the captain of the flag line, coach me before tryouts. I worked really hard 3 years in a row, but it wasn't enough. Last week, I got the call that I didn't get picked for a mentorship group that I had applied for. Can I just say that not getting picked for something sucks just as much at 40 as it did when I was in my senior year of high school? I have been working in therapy for the last couple months of just sitting with my feelings and letting them be there, experiencing them, and then letting them dissipate. We talked about this in episode 122 with Dr. Laura Froyen about how most feelings take about 90 seconds to pass. And I will say this feeling definitely lasted more than 90 seconds, but it was worth it. I sat through it. And the other thing I've been working on is reparenting myself. And I think like most 80s and 90s kids, I never learned how to be with my feelings. Like, I don't remember my parents sharing how to overcome tough stuff beyond like, you can do it, get back on the horse. Like, all that advice is valid. You do need to keep going and you need that encouragement. But a lot of it was like, just shove those feelings under the rug so you don't have to deal with them and keep going. Like, I wanted to be able to walk myself through the hard stuff without escaping immediately. Like, yes, sometimes that's needed. Like, that is our body's stress response to like escape this and disassociate and like be away from the hard feelings. Like, yes, sometimes that is needed. But I don't want to use that as my go-to. Like, I want to develop the skills to be able to deal with the feelings without relying on food or alcohol or my phone or whatever else to distract me out of whatever I don't want to deal with. Like, I want to actually deal with it. And as I learn to deal with these things, I want to be able to teach my kids how to deal with these things. Because I realize, like, I can't teach my kids to do stuff that I don't know how to do myself. So if you are one of the cycle breakers changing the generational traumas in your family, like, high five, this matters. It is hard and it is worth it. Like, after I got the news that I didn't get picked last week, I moped around, like, hid in our guest room and sat in the big armchair for like probably a good 2 hours that afternoon. Like, thankfully I could, my husband was here, and I was just tending to that like 14-year-old version of me that was just devastated by not getting picked. Like, what does that say about me? Who am I? Like, how do I dust myself off and like, quote unquote, like try out again for something the next time that I really want and possibly have to go through this again? Letting those feelings like sit in my body and like identifying where I feel them and like letting my mind wander in the sad places. And I will say, like, if you've never done this, I highly recommend doing this with a professional first, because I mean, I've been doing weekly therapy for almost 4 months now and it has taken me time to get here. So like, especially if you have a lot of trauma in your background, tread lightly, because this is really hard. We have to like dip our toes in, try it back up, try it back out, try it back out until we can tolerate more and more and learn how to work through these things. Because especially when you have ADHD, you've spent a lot of your life masking and hiding and covering up. and ignoring your gut feelings and who you are and what you perceive. And like, even after I was, you know, I had been moping for a while, my husband came in and was like, because I told him, like, I want to talk about it. He comes in. And at some point he was like, I think you're too sad about this. Like, the disappointment you feel doesn't really match the level of not getting into this thing. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And immediately I was like, full stop. Like, I am allowed to be sad. It doesn't matter. Like, there's no, like, accounting system for, like, level of sadness. Like, if I feel this way, I feel this way. I'm allowed to be sad. And I'm not going to get off on a tangent about rejection sensitivity dysphoria and trauma and all that. But, like, this is something that we feel with ADHD. We feel rejection and critique and all these negative feelings. Like, we feel extra. I'm not going to get into why right now because I'll be here for another hour. Like, that is something that we feel. It is a part of most people with ADHD. It's one of the trademarks that is sadly not in the checklist of symptoms, but it's a huge part of our ADHD. And I used to feel shame in feeling too sad. But like, I feel emotions very bigly. That is not a word. I feel emotions like largely and bigly. I'm going to stick with bigly. I just feel emotions big. And that's okay. That's who I am. I used to always feel like embarrassed that I would cry about stuff, and I still sometimes do. And like, when I got the news, I did cry, and the man delivering the news to me was definitely very uncomfortable. But you know what? It wasn't about him. It's about me. I was sad, and I'm allowed to be sad. And I think that's part of normalizing that it's okay to be sad. Like, we are humans and we are allowed to have feelings, and I'm tired of hiding my feelings. I was sad. I'm going to be sad. If you're not okay with my sadness, cool. You can go somewhere else, but it's okay that I'm sad. Like, my husband doesn't have to understand it. I appreciate that he listened to me. He doesn't have to understand it, and he doesn't have to agree with me. It's okay. It's my opinion that when you have ADHD, you are always in a higher level of stress and more frequently in our stress response, like the fight, flight, fawn, freeze, because we have more input, because we have sensory overload. Because we're constantly scanning the environment, things are catching our eye, we're getting distracted by stuff. We just tend to have more trauma in our lives. I think a lot of this comes from like generations of family who have untreated ADHD, and that causes a lot of problems. The fact that we are told through most of our life that our perception is wrong, we have, you know, we're too emotional. Like, over time, all of this stress wears on us. And again, totally my opinion. I don't have scientific research to back this up. But I think this is why we have so much like autoimmune issues. Like, I just keep hearing this over and over again in my community here of like everything from, you know, celiacs and thyroid issues and all the autoimmune things. Like, they're just so common with us. And let me get back on track here. There's a lot of reasons that when you have ADHD, you're stressed out. And I think that they compound each other. And it's not an isolated incident. It's not just one reason that we are stressed. It all comes together. But when I was telling my therapist about this the following week after I got the sad news, she was really proud of me. And it was so good to hear that support of someone saying like, hey, you did a great job sitting with your sadness. I'm really proud of like how far you've come and the skills you employed. And, you know, to get that validation of like, I am making progress. It is slow, but I'm making progress. So back to my kids. So I'm sitting in the armchair, crying my face out. I'm sad. I'm like, I gotta pull it together. I went through like half a tissue box. Whew, pulled together. It's getting close to dinner time. My husband had plans with some friends, so he was going out, and I'm like, I'm not cooking. I take my kids to get dinner, and I'm like, how am I gonna explain this to them? Like, how do I model this for them? Because I want them to know that like I'm not perfect, I don't always understand it, and that I have hard time too, like things are still sad for me too, like I don't get picked for things, because this is something like my kids, you know, if you're new around here, my kids are 5 and 7, like they're still just at the beginning of getting that taste of like the disappointment with friends and activities and all that. And I want them to be able to deal with these situations better than I did. And when having these tough conversations, like how do I explain to them how I'm sad and dealing with emotions and I'm sad and it? Because like a lot of times we build up these conversations with our kids to be really difficult. And one thing I learned through teaching is that a lot of times when you get these like doozy of a questions from your kids, one, it's okay to say like, I don't know, let me do some research and get back to you. But two, that a lot of the times, like we try to make it too complicated, and we try to explain like really big things, and their question sometimes isn't even as what we think it is. A lot of times their question is much simpler than that, and they're fine with a very simple, age-appropriate answer. And having these tough conversations is also easier when you're doing something else. So like riding in the car, doing some kind of activity, like a craft or a board game, or making something or cleaning, like doing a thing with your hands. That's when I would talk to my students, is when they were doing some kind of activity because their guard was down and they're focusing on their task, and they were so much more comfortable to talk when they weren't making like direct eye contact and like having that like connection kind of conversation. So those are my tips for when you want to have these tough conversations in like dealing with the harder things, whether it's like dealing with something that's hard for you to say, or, you know, you're trying to explain things to them like the birds and the bees and like bullying or hard things with friends. Like these are good ways to talk to them, these hard subjects about your kids. So like we're in the car and I just shared a few sentences about why I was sad that are at a 5 and 7 year old level. Like, hey, I really wanted to do this thing. They didn't pick me. I'm really sad about it today. So I don't really feel like cooking. We're going to go have dinner together, and you guys spending time with you cheers me up, and I'll be sad for a few days, but you know, I'll get over it. And then things hurt for a while, but not forever. And at some point I'll be ready to try again to do something that's hard, and I might not get picked again. And like that was about the summation of the topic. It was just a few sentences on how it's hard to be disappointed. I really wanted it, but I don't get to do it. I'm sad. My feelings are hurt. It'll be bad for a little bit, a few days, and then I'll be okay and I'll try again when I'm ready. Like that's the summation. And I think back of like a few years ago, I never could have explained that hurt simply and easily because I hadn't processed it. There's so many things I couldn't have done a few years ago. I couldn't have taught them about how to rest or how to slow down or how to be sad. Like here I am hosting a retreat centered around how to slow down and rest and take care of yourself when like I didn't even have those skills when my oldest was born. Like I'm hosting this because I want you to have those skills for your kids. Like I want you to have them for you, but I also want you to be able to teach your kids, especially if they have ADHD, how to live well with it. You know, it's funny, people always ask me like why I work with moms and not with kids after having taught middle school for so many years. And for me, it comes down to the like you, mama, you are the change maker. You're the leader of your family. You are the one forming the next generation. And I can help one kid at a time. Like it reminds me of like that, you know, the saying of like, give a man a fish, they eat for a day, teach them how to fish, they can eat for a lifetime. Like I can teach the kid the skills, or I can teach the mom the skills, and then she can spread that far and wide. So like when I teach you how to do something, I know that when I teach you something, like you're applying it to yourself, but you're also applying it to your family. And then your extended family, which may not be receptive at all, they see that. And even though they may not like it, down the road, they'll see how it changes and be like, wow, what's that light in her that's different now than before? I know that you are going to then spread this in your kids' friends' lives and in your community. I know that when I teach you, and I support you and I encourage you, that you're spreading it far and wide. Because when you have ADHD, like it's highly correlated in families that like if you have ADHD, there's a 50 to 70% chance that your kid also will have ADHD. Whereas like if you just survey the random population, they say it's 3 to 5%. Personally, I think it's closer to 10, but I won't get on that soapbox at the moment. So like how do we teach the next generation to love their brains and live successfully with ADHD? It's what we're doing now, teaching them now as kids to love the way that they are and be successful how they are, instead of trying to fit in the mold that everybody else wants to put us in, is figuring out how to make our lives work well for us. And we can do that when we've learned it for ourselves. That's when we can teach other people how to do it. That's why you are special. You are meant to have those precious little ones in your care, because you are doing better by them. Even when you feel like you're at your worst, you're trying and you're putting in the effort to make you and your family better. Okay, I need to go find a tissue and give you a big virtual hug and remind you one more time that today's the last day to sign up for the Power of the Pause retreat that's happening in 2 weeks. It's October 7th through 9th. Today's the last day to sign up. And this is a retreat just meant for you, just for ADHD moms. We're going to learn how to implement the pause in your life, both big pauses and little pauses in the moment and in the season, figuring out how do you take care of yourself? Like not bubble baths and facials, but like how do you really take care of yourself and recharge so that you have the skills to teach your kids how to pause, how to rest, so they know how to take care of themselves as grownups, especially as grownups with ADHD. You have me there all weekend. Ask as many questions as you want. We're going to have some great meals. We're going to have fun together. And it's going to be really great. And I hope that you're there. So sign up today. It's the last day. And it's website. You need the website. You can go to Motherhood and ADHD and click at the top on the tab that says retreats or go to patriciasung.com/ADHD-mom-retreat. That's patriciasung.com/ADHD-mom-retreat. And it's all lowercase letters. I'll talk to you soon, successful mama. For more resources, classes, and community, head over to my website, motherhoodinadhd.com.